This is Audible.
Books on Tape presents A Short History of Nearly Everything by Bill Bryson, read by Richard Matthews. Today, accelerators have names that sound like something Flash Gordon would use in battle. The Super Proton Synchrotron, the Large Electron Positron Collider, the Large Hadron Collider, the Relativistic Heavy Ion Collider. Using huge amounts of energy, some operate only at night, so that people in neighboring towns don't have to witness their lights fading when the apparatus is fired up, they can whip particles into such a state of liveliness that a single electron can do 47,000 laps around a 4-mile tunnel in a second. Fears have been raised that in their enthusiasm, scientists might inadvertently create a black hole or even something called strange quarks, which could theoretically interact with other subatomic particles and propagate uncontrollably. If you're reading this, that hasn't happened. Finding particles takes a certain amount of concentration. They are not just tiny and swift, but also often tantalizingly evanescent. Particles can come into being and be gone again in as little as 1 10⁻²⁴ of a second. Even the most sluggish of unstable particles hang around for no more than 1 10⁻⁷ of a second. Some particles are almost ludicrously slippery. Every second, the Earth is visited by 10,000 trillion trillion tiny, all but massless neutrinos, mostly shot out by the nuclear broilings of the Sun, and virtually all of them pass right through the planet and everything that is on it, including you and me, as if it weren't there. To trap just a few of them, scientists need tanks holding up to 12.5 million gallons of heavy water, that is, water with a relative abundance of deuterium in it, in underground chambers, old mines usually, where they can't be interfered with by other types of radiation. Very occasionally, a passing neutrino will bang into one of the atomic nuclei in the water and produce a little puff of energy. Scientists count the puffs, and by such means take us very slightly closer to understanding the fundamental properties of the universe. In 1998, Japanese observers reported that neutrinos do have mass, but not a great deal, about 1/10,000,000th that of an electron. What it really takes to find particles these days is money, and lots of it. There is a curious inverse relationship in modern physics between the tininess of the thing being sought and the scale of facilities required to do the searching. CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, is like a little city. Straddling the border of France and Switzerland, it employs 3,000 people and occupies a site that is measured in square miles. CERN boasts a string of magnets that weigh more than the Eiffel Tower, and an underground tunnel over 16 miles around. Breaking up atoms, as James Treffel has noted, is easy. You do it each time you switch on a fluorescent light. Breaking up atomic nuclei, however, requires quite a lot of money and a generous supply of electricity. Getting down to the level of quarks, the particles that make up particles, requires still more. Trillions of volts of electricity and the budget of a small Central American nation. CERN's new Large Hadron Collider, scheduled to begin operations in 2005, will achieve 14 trillion volts of electricity and cost something over $1.5 billion to construct. There are practical side effects to all this costly effort. The World Wide Web is a CERN offshoot. It was invented by a CERN scientist, Tim Berners-Lee, in 1989. But these numbers are as nothing compared with what could have been achieved by and spent upon the vast and now unfortunately never-to-be superconducting supercollider, which began being constructed near Waxahachie, Texas in the 1980s before experiencing a supercollision of its own with the United States Congress. The intention of the collider was to let scientists probe the ultimate nature of matter, as it is always put, by recreating as nearly as possible the conditions in the universe during its first 10,000 billionths of a second. The plan was to fling particles through a tunnel 52 miles long, achieving a truly staggering 99 trillion volts of energy. It was a grand scheme, but would also have cost $8 billion to build, a figure that eventually rose to $10 billion, and hundreds of millions of dollars a year to run. In perhaps the finest example in history of pouring money into a hole in the ground, Congress spent $2 billion on the project, then cancelled it in 1993 after 14 miles of tunnel had been dug. So Texas now boasts the most expensive hole in the universe. The site is, I am told by my friend Jeff Gwynn of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, essentially a vast cleared field dotted along the circumference by a series of disappointed small towns. Since the Super Collider debacle, particle physicists have set their sights a little lower, but even comparatively modest projects can be quite breathtakingly costly when compared with, well, almost anything. A proposed neutrino observatory at the old Homestake mine in Leeds, South Dakota, would cost $500 million to build, this in a mine that is already dug, before you even look at the annual running costs. There would also be $281 million of general conversion costs. A particle accelerator at Fermilab in Illinois, meanwhile, cost $260 million merely to refit. Particle physics, in short, is a hugely expensive enterprise, but it is a productive one. Today the particle count is well over 150, with a further 100 or so suspected. But unfortunately, in the words of Richard Feynman, it is very difficult to understand the relationships of all these particles and what nature wants them for, or what the connections are from one to another. Inevitably, each time we manage to unlock a box, we find that there is another locked box inside. Some people think there are particles called tachyons, which can travel faster than the speed of light. Others long to find gravitons, the seat of gravity. At what point we reach the irreducible bottom is not easy to say. Carl Sagan in Cosmos raised the possibility that if you traveled downward into an electron, you might find that it contained a universe of its own, recalling all those science fiction stories of the 50s. Within it, organized into the local equivalent of galaxies and smaller structures, are an immense